Today's episode of Who Weekly is brought to you by the CW's new series, Kung Fu. Wednesdays at 8, 7 central or stream free next day.
You will drain it.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber, and I have something.
Holding my coffee. I'm waiting for you to talk.
I would have showed you this sooner, but I was advised by my friends and your friends too to save it for the podcast because it is something that sent me over
our
a cliff
mutuals.
In laughter. This weekend, the funniest thing I think I've seen in a long time. And I'm curious if you think it's as funny. One of our friends, Franny, pulled up something from Demois that just killed me. And I want you to read these, because, you know, Demois does these spottings. You know, they'll say, like, I saw Jared Leto in the bathroom. Anon, please. You know, like, it's just hilarious. So I would like you to read, as I paste them into the doc, I'd like you to read. These were all these were all on one slide, like one Instagram story. Okay. So read the one that I just put.
Emma Watson spotted right now at Chulita in Venice, California. Pilot Pete from Bachelor at District Local in Chelsea. The other two filming on 45th and 5th. Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly out at dinner with friends at Elephant Monday night. She is so tiny. They held hands walking out, okay?
Then you get to this.
It's loading. Saw Biden in D.C. Anon, plus. I love Demois. Oh my god.
I'm crying again. Saw Biden.
So that must be a joke that Demois didn't catch was a joke, right?
I don't think so. Because they posted it.
Like me at the coffee bean and tea leaf, and there's Biden and Kamala, and I'm like, do you see? Oh my god, you'll never believe who walked in here. Oh my god.
But
he got
an
ice blended.
The idea of like sending it to a friend, like, oh, I just saw Biden, LOL, is one thing. The idea of immediately submitting it to a gossip Instagram, saw Biden in DC, anon please.
Likely place for him to be.
Anon please. Likely place for him to be. Anon please. Ooh, sorry, that like I just like
every
little tear.
Every single one of these is wildly boring.
That's why Demois is like, at the same time as it, I'm over it, I cried myself to full on tears, like thinking about Biden in DC getting sent to Demois. So I guess I'm a fan again.
The person going and whipping up their phone, heading straight to Demois. You'll never believe.
But like anon, please. Like what?
It's Pete. It's Mayor Pete.
Anon, please.
I can't expose myself. Chasten.
That was my opener for today's.
I have an opener.
Pretty funny. You do?
I'll paste it in. I'll do the thing you did and I'll paste it in.
Okay.
Actually, you'll have to see this email.
39 minutes ago, you received this at 9:40 a.m. Oh my God. Casa Zeta Jones Coffee Company, thank you for your purchase. You spent money on her coffee?
Oh, I spent too much money. I bought one bag. The problem was she has four bags of coffee and I didn't know which one to get. And so, let me see what you would have gotten, okay? You like coffee enough. You like coffee okay. So here are our,
Didn't
see Breakfast A-Go-Go.
You can buy more. Why didn't you just buy the whole bunch?
Well, but they're $20 each and I was only going to get one bag.
It's a business expense.
Yeah, I'll expense it. So you have the Ultimate Zeta Blend, which is a full-bodied blend of fine East African and Indonesian coffees with a smooth citrus-like finish. Then you have the Zeta... That's a medium roast. Then you have a dark roast that's called the Zeta Strong Blend. It's a fair trade certified, rich, smooth, bold, and complex coffee with hints of caramel. And then you have the Zeta's Reserve Blend, which is also a medium roast, and it's a blend of select fine coffees from Indonesia, Central, and South America. And then you have the Full City Blend, which is the last one that I saw, dark roast.
Get?
Can you guess? This one is a pleasant Full City roast blending coffees from Central and South America.
You got the Full City one.
No, I'm not a big fan of dark roasts.
You got the light roast.
I actually like a medium roast. Well, they don't have any light roasts.
Okay,
so
you
I got the
medium roast.
Ultimate Zeta Blend, because it has a citrus-like finish. I like a smoother finish in my coffee. It said, add a note. add a special note with your order. And I added, like, we stan, love you, Catherine. Read your New Yorker interview, like, totally stan.
I can't wait till you try this coffee live on air. It is, we do tape in the morning, so you should do that.
Yeah. What's going on with Philadelphia cream cheese?
I have no idea, but they sent off two tweets the other day that were truly out of control. Here's one. Jared doesn't need to fight for the last bite. Philadelphia cheesecake crumble is cheesecake in a personal serving, so Ashley can't take it personally when he eats it all. Be like Jared. Get yours in the refrigerated dessert aisle. Learn more. bit.ly.com/cheesecake, whatever, whatever, whatever. Then, do you want to read her? This is his and hers tweet.
Yeah, and then I'll be Ashley. Same at Love My Philly following up. Tag who would look at you like Ashley's looking here if you came near their cheesecake. Philadelphia cheesecake crumble is a must-have to avoid any last bite dilemmas. Find them in the refrigerated dessert aisle. Learn more bit.ly/cheesecake
crumble. This is obviously Ashley, I, and Jared, who I honestly think would do spawn
Bachelor cockroaches.
For,
yeah.
What's the worst thing you could do spawn for? I mean, I don't think there's any spawn they wouldn't touch at this point.
I get the last bite.
You've had like five gigantic bites.
Well, I'm a gigantic man.
Oh, here's one. They would do spawn for microplastics.
Oh, okay. Because we all agree that microplastics are bad. So that's, they would be like.
They would do spawn for microplastics. Just microplastics. As big, like big microplastic.
If there was like nuclear sludge that somebody was selling packaged like. In the Philadelphia cream cheese thing package.
In the refrigerated dessert section?
Right.
Yeah, they would sell it.
Yeah, I just think that they would at least take the call, you know? They wouldn't turn that down.
Yeah, we always take the call, Jared. We always take the call.
No, you did not.
I did.
Does it taste good? Does it taste really good having it all to yourself?
Yeah.
You're unbelievable.
What did I do?
Are you struggling with the last bite dilemma in your home? Try a personal serving of Philadelphia Cheesecake Crumble. Or go to PhiladelphiaCheesecakeCrumble.com to see if you can get couples therapy on us.
Moving on, Janelle Monáe has a boyfriend who's not a new boyfriend. It's probably a boyfriend she's had for some time, but has only now been revealed and like via photos of them smooching.
Not to be weird, but I kind of think that Janelle Monáe, who has been covered in the Daily Mail a few times, but I kind of think the Daily Mail was just like out looking at people on yachts and she happened to be on one of them and they were like, mm-hmm. oh, and they like got their story. Do you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I don't know if them being like Janelle Monáe dates her like partner and collaborator, Nate Wonder, is something that they were going for, you know? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Wow, you're calling her hooey? You're calling her too hooey for the Daily Mail?
I mean, I think she is hooey. Like, that's kind of her whole career trajectory. Is that, like, she's so fully underrated at every step, even though she's out here doing Pepsi ads, you know? Like, that's what's so magical about her. Is that she's, like, everywhere, and then people are like, pay more attention to Janelle Monáe. And it's like, I am. Like, she opened the Grammys.
I have been.
She opened the Oscars. Yeah, she's like, I don't know. She's eminently hireable, right?
Across skill sets.
Oh, she's a triple threat. She's a quadruple threat.
At least triple. At least
if not
triple.
Four. She's got four, I think. I don't know what the fourth is, but she's got it.
Well, remember when she was allegedly dating Tessa Thompson? And
oh,
everyone was
my
like, they're dating, they're dating, they're dating, they're dating, they're dating,
and
they're dating.
And she loved
dating.
That
they
because
together.
She
they
had that
the
song
together.
That was
oh,
like,
oh, yeah, pink.
Yeah,
pink.
About vaginas. And she was like,
yeah,
mm,
it was like,
maybe, yeah.
Vaginas. So Janelle Monáe has apparently been dating this guy for some time, and he's not just any guy. First of all, his name is Nate Wonder, which is incredible. His nickname is apparently Rocket.
Love that for
her. I don't think anyone calls him that. I think everyone calls him Nate, but they've known each other for a really, really long time, long enough where they were friends, then collaborators. He's a songwriter and also a producer, so he's worked on all of her albums and wrote the score with his writing partner to that flop she was in last year, Antebellum.
Oh, God, you're right. That was
so
a flop.
The music,
that was a flop they'll blame on pandemic, but I think was also just like kind of a flop.
Yeah, it was a perfect storm. It was a perfect flop storm. But the music from that movie is pretty good. And so he's responsible for
is
that.
Is it?
So
have
apparently
you
they've been dating. Yeah, I listened to it because of this. And I was like, oh, this is nice.
Okay.
No, he's good. So the thing is, I think this is one of those situations where I'm going to say it's a hybrid of what you said, but also just like they've been dating for a long time and this isn't new. It just happens to be one photo where they're
I just feel like the Daily Mail loves the romance of getting caught on a yacht canoodling. Mm-hmm. And I just think that it amplifies their excitement over a couple versus like, I mean, obviously with like big couples, they're like always looking for, they'll get any picture of them together. Like as you'll see Henry mm-hmm. Cavill, they're always, Daily Mail's always like horny for who his girlfriend is or whatever. But like, mm-hmm. I feel like for someone like Janelle Monáe and other people too, if they catch them on a yacht, that's like more exciting, you know?
The other thing about these photos is a lot of people publish these photos. They're good photos. Like, everyone looks great. They're on a yacht. How could you not look great? But the more interesting photos, the more, like, insightful, revealing photos are the ones of Janelle and her unnamed friend. And Janelle is, like, on the bow or the stern, whatever. I don't know the difference. On the boat in her cute swimsuit posing. And there's a friend who's taking the photos. Maybe it's an assistant. But it's, like, showing a little bit of how the sausage is made.
Oh,
and, like,
I love
how you
that.
Have, like, the debasing thing where it's, like, if you're the assistant to the celebrity, you're constantly taking the thirst traps for the celebrity or right. the friend.
I would guess it's, like, an assistant slash friend at this point. I feel like that's where we are in these types of things. If you go on the boat, you're, like...
You're the friend.
You're the assistant slash friend.
Yeah. What are these two headlines? The two genders, you say?
Well, are we still doing that joke or is that joke played out?
No, I think the two genders is still a funny joke.
Is it?
Because the joke of the two genders joke is that there aren't two genders. And maybe the two genders is more of a visual joke because usually you put like an errant apostrophe in there.
I'm just like, if two genders is played out, but I love the concept of the joke, I just want to know what to replace it with, right? Like, I still want to be, you know, here's A, here's B. But like, if the two genders joke is played out, what do we replace it with? So here are the two genders. Lily Allen shirks controversy with sultry lingerie snap after coming under fire for posting laughter emoji at a meme mocking Phillip's death. Here's the other gender. Drag Race UK star Bag of Chips takes a break from social media after trolls abuse her over condolence message following the death of Prince Philip. That's pretty, I guess that'd be funnier as a tweet. Maybe I'll tweet it.
You're Daily Mailed if you do, you're Daily Mailed if you don't.
Exactly.
You know? Like,
exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Either way, you got Daily Mailed. So congratulations to all involved and rest in peace, whatever, Prince Philip.
The only winning move is not to post, you know?
You know that TikTok thing where that kid goes like, rest in peace, Princess Diana, you would have loved Nintendo 64, like that thing?
Yes.
It's pretty funny, right? Like, I feel like that is like, that joke is like, that has wings, you know, that'll last. Uh-huh.
Rest in peace to Princess Diana. Rest in peace, love. Rest in peace, baby cakes. It's a real shame that you never got to see what Gangnam Style was. It's a real shame. You would have loved to know what Gangnam Style was.
Rest in peace, Prince Philip. You would have loved this year's Met Gala. It was moved to September. You know, like that type of weird thing. Yeah?
You know who the Who's of the week really are?
Yeah.
As in, like, truly who are they?
Yeah.
Meghan Markle's doctors who were like, sweetie... You can't take the plane. Like, really, you can't fly.
Oh, like,
you can't
she can't
fly.
Go
I'm
to his
sorry.
Funeral or whatever? Yeah. Yeah.
Megan calls
but like,
her doctors.
Not to be rude,
can
but,
I?
Like, you know, when you get the doctor's note, like, debt doctor's mm-hmm. note, she definitely, like, got the doctor's note, but this version of it. You know? She calls them up. She's yeah. like, can I get a... They're like, we know what you want, and you got it, babe. And they, like, write her a little note.
I'm waiting to see the Daily Mail scan. Exclusive scan of the doctor's note Meghan Markle received explaining why she cannot
funeral.
Travel to the UK for her... grandfather-in-law's funeral or whatever.
R.I.P. Prince Philip, you would have loved Avatar 2.
And 3 and 4 and 5.
What's next? Oh, this is fun. Speaking of TikTok, Natasha Bedingfeld's fat ass. And I mean that with love because the internet means that with love. And I would have meant it with mm-hmm. love anyways. But basically... Obviously, I think every 5 years her song has to go viral. Like, I swear to God, this song is like eternal, don't you think?
Unwritten, yeah.
Unwritten is eternal. So like every 5 years in some format, Unwritten goes viral. So of course, mm-hmm. the time came for it to go viral on TikTok. There were people dancing to it. There was a cool dance people were doing, right? She duetted one of the many people who were doing this dance and kind of like danced along. And in her dance, she like kind of like
she's flaunting her butt.
She kind of jumps past and like her like booty is like popped out a little. Not like her naked booty, but like her boot, just her little bit of booty. And so it's like people are like, Natasha Bedingfield is trending for having a nice butt. If there ever was a good reason to trend, I feel like that's it. So she started trending because people were like, damn. Like, even in the comments of the...
celebrities.
Right?
Well, SZA saying, first off, the fatty is fattying. And then Andra Day saying, peach, peach, cake, cake, y'all see that? Like, this isn't just random trolls. This is, like, very famous people being like, Natasha, love your big ass. It's great.
Somebody wrote in the comments, bruh, did she always have that wagon? And she responded, yes, always, thanks. Thank you.
Like, Natasha Bedingfield, that's Natasha Bedingfield responding, yes, always, actually. Great. But the tweet, Lil Grapefruits, who tweeted that comment, it made me laugh. Natasha Bedingfield responding to TikTok comments about her dump truck ass is cracking me up. I love this.
And this was not even the only, like, celebrity with a fat ass thing of the day, which was, like, Chris Maloney. I guess they're shooting Law and Order, and there's this, like, paparazzi photo of him, and he's got,
I don't understand what's happening in
that
ass.
Well, he's got one leg up, clearly.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He has his, like, right leg on that, like, on a thing.
And it's giving him, like, it's giving him, like,
a very pronounced cheek.
Like, a very round ass. a very ass.
Have you seen that other viral tweet? Like big asses are always going viral, but there was another one that was like, after COVID, I'm going to start picking up dudes in the library. And it's just some like random, like straight looking bro sitting in a chair weirdly, but his ass is sticking out the back of the chair, like in like a very Chris Maloney ass sticking out the back. And everyone's right. Like, I can't wait to go to the library.
Oh,
it's truly, I mean, this is also like very kind of we need the vaccine behavior as well.
I mean, like, it definitely is. It definitely is. It's also just like you never know where things are going to take you. I mean, Natasha was just like doing what celebs do, which is like if they go viral on TikTok, you got to like get involved. And she didn't know that what was going to come out of this was a bunch of Gen Z being like, you got a fat ass. You know, like that's crazy. She didn't know.
Mm-hmm. How do you think Daniel Bedingfield's ass is doing? Does he have a big ass?
Are they related? Did we already go over this? Are they related?
Yes, they're brother and sister.
Oh. Do you think he gave her a call and he was like, saw you're going viral on TikTok with your...
Congrats on that dump truck ass. I would like, I mean, it would be cool. It would be cool if he also went viral.
I gotta get through this. That, is that him?
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta get through this. And then the one that's like, if you're not the one, then me.
Oh,
which is
yeah.
always, oh, I, that's like very high school Bob, like in my feelings, listening to If You're Not the One. Oh my God.
I couldn't even sing that past, but I could sing, I gotta get through this. I gotta get through this.
No, but like, you know the chorus of If You're Not the One.
What is it?
You know.
No.
Like, I don't wanna run away.
Oh, I don't like it.
That?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. It's so good.
I got it. That's like,
it's so good.
Kind of a Duane Reade song, isn't it?
Yeah. We've established the fact that we both love Duane Reade songs.
I know.
It's fine.
That's definitely one. And Unwritten is like definitely one.
Yeah. I mean, Unwritten is more iconic than anything Daniel Bedingfield that has ever come out of Daniel Bedingfield's big ass.
I mean, Unwritten is more iconic than most of the music that has appeared.
That we listen to? Most of the music that's out today is considerably less iconic than Natasha Bedingfield's Unwritten.
Considerably. Yes. And that's a shame.
Yes.
Well, actually, to tell you guys a secret, I sang Natasha Bedingfield for my Victorious callback. I sang Unwritten, so I guess I'll sing that. I am unwritten, can't read my mind, I'm undefined. I'm just beginning, the pen's in my hand, ending on plan, staring at the blank page before you, open up the dirty window, let the sun illuminate the words that you cannot find, reaching.
This is maybe the best story of the week. It's wonderful. It's just great. It belongs in the Who canon. It involves not just Who's, but the act of Whoing. misidentification,
obsessed with
identification.
Henry Cavill. I just love that we're all on the same page of Henry Cavill, which is like obsessed okay. and baffled by his love life.
It's like, okay. Sure. I don't believe any of it, but I accept it. You know, so, that's how I feel about Henry Cavill's life. I don't necessarily believe anything.
The timeline is that on April 6th, yes, my birthday, he stepped out in London with a mystery woman, mm-hmm. a blonde woman who people did not know. So they rushed to identify her. And the Daily Mail identifies her as Canadian scientist Danielle Beausoleil. Turns out...
Wait, are you telling me it's not Canadian scientist Danielle Beausoleil?
I'm telling you, despite The Sun having this article still up, it is not this woman, this mystery woman, is not Canadian scientist Danielle Beausoleil.
What's that beautiful sun?
It is, in fact, yeah, beautiful. Beausoleil, pretty sun.
Pretty sun, okay.
Well, same thing, beautiful sun.
Yeah, yeah.
Handsome son. This says he stepped out with Danielle, who describes her interests on social media as travel and fitness. On social media page, Danielle also shares poetry she has written. This poor woman basically is getting misidentified. Anyways, in the comments, we have somebody saying, strange because it's not the name he uses on his Instagram page when talking about her. Thinky face. Because after many articles, who is Henry Cavill's girlfriend? Danielle Beausoleil or Natalie Viscuso, who was identified by Henry in an Instagram that he posted. She posted it too. And he wrote, this is me looking quietly confident shortly after my beautiful and brilliant love, Natalie, she has beauty and brains, destroys me at chess. So Natalie, now we're like, this woman cannot be Danielle Beausoleil and she cannot be a scientist. In fact, she is Natalie Viscuso, who of course works in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Where is Henry going to find a Canadian scientist? I'm sorry. No.
He could. I mean, don't count that out for Henry Cavill. He can do whatever
sure,
he wants.
But
I'm just saying.
If I'm
this makes so much more sense.
That Henry Cavill's girlfriend, Natalie Viscuso, is the daughter of a nightclub mogul. Would you say that makes more sense?
Oh, that makes so much more sense. Yes. Next thing you're going to tell me is that she appeared in an episode of My Super Sweet 16 in 2005.
Honey, I'm going to tell you that because it's true.
That's true. Oh, my God. Who could have thought?
I'm Natalie. I'm 15 years old. I just recently moved to La Jolla, California. I'm the new girl in school, but people actually know me because of the cars my dad has.
My dad buys this car, we get mine for free. This car is 715 grand.
Dad, I definitely think this car fits you.
Money really is not an object to me. I'm really spoiled. These are my purses, Gucci, Christian Dior. Sometimes I feel guilty for that, but I deserve everything that I have because I've always been just the nice girl, never the rich girl.
If you open nightclubs for a living, you're going to give your daughter the most obnoxious Sweet 16 in the world, and MTV is going to be there.
And if your daughter is turning 16 in the early to mid-aughts, it's going to be on MTV. Meanwhile, Danielle Beausoleil has not said anything about this. Like, this woman... I kind of expected some sort of like funny story or funny notes app, like, ha ha ha, that's not me. But no, no. She posted a poem that, here's the poem that she posted.
After.
Okay. I don't know that it necessarily is about the Henry Cavill miscommunication, but it could be. Here it says, inside the spring's wildflowers, it grows. Come winter hiding under innocent snows. In the leaves of autumn's brightest trees and sent through a cool summer's breeze. Since years follow with patterns, drift past. Be seen the notorious shadows they cast. Resurgent in all the winds that blow. Be it in deepest depths, it's stowed. A memory that will always stay. The feeling for what got away.
Meanwhile, here's me in the comments. I was an extra on Batman vs. Superman, Day of the Dead scene, where Superman saves a girl from a burning building in Mexico. Here's you in the comments. Missed my chance to get a picture with family director and Superman. My aunt got a picture with Hugh Jackman on Real Steel on set when she was an extra. The ZSGL movie was amazing on HBO Max. Justice League filmed in England.
No, this is me in the comments. Anyone else disappointed she isn't Henry's new lady? She seems cool as fuck. Crying, laughing, fire.
Here's me. Post one pic with Henry Cavill. Still demanding.
Poor thing. She's like, get out of my comments.
I'm just trying to post a poem. Poem.
How do you find this person? Because she isn't famous. She's not someone. Who told them that it was Danielle Beausoleil? They need better, like, fact checkers over at the Daily Mail. I mean, obviously they do.
I mean, we're doing what people are doing, which was focusing on the woman who clearly is not Henry Cavill's girlfriend. As opposed to
you know, we played the My Super Sweet 16 clip.
I've never had a birthday party before, and
my dad owns 5 of the hottest nightclubs in Southern California.
I'm having a gigantic Sweet 16 party at one of my father's nightclubs. Just want to make it the biggest, most outrageous, craziest thing that's ever known.
From the DJ booth, they can fly you into your party.
I want to be the top most popular girl.
I hope that she loves video games. He's already establishing her as a quote unquote nerd. You know, because Henry Cavill's new thing, I think, to differentiate him from, like, he's so boring and sort of like traitless that over the pandemic, he was like, I do computer games. I'm a nerd. Now they're playing Game of Thrones chess.
PlayStation or Xbox?
PC.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're a PC gamer?
Yeah, yeah.
What, was that from when you were young? Or?
Yes. Yeah, my dad got me into that when I was very, very young.
Did you kind of build your own gaming PC?
I have not quite ventured into building my own myself. I've definitely have had custom PCs over the years. That will be the next project, as soon as I find enough time.
Exactly, but when was he building PCs before? Never. Like, I think they've done some focus group testing and they found out that nerding tests well. I'm just saying, I think these hobbies are fake hobbies. I don't think that he's sitting around playing Game of Thrones chess with not Danielle Beausoleil, Natalie Viscuso.
I think he is, though. And that's the magic of Henry Cavill. Because what the fuck else is he doing?
Sitting around. He reminds me of Putty in Seinfeld. Whenever they're on the plane and Putty just stares at the seat behind him and Elaine's like, don't you want a book? Don't you want like a magazine? And he's like, no, I'm good. And he just stares at the seat in front of him.
You want something to read?
No.
Well, are you going to take a nap? Or?
No.
You're just going to sit there staring at the back of the seat?
He's a robot.
Vet bills can be expensive, but Spot Pet Insurance can give you up to 90% cash back on vet bills, so you can worry less about high vet bills. Yep, up to 90% cash back on vet bills for unexpected accidents, illness, and even routine care. And with Spot Pet Insurance plans, you can go to any vet you want in the U.S. or Canada. There's no network you need to stick to, so visit your favorite vet, and you can save money on expensive vet bills. That's Spot Pet Insurance. It's no wonder Spot is America's favorite pet insurance. Visit spotpet.com for a free quote today. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Spot Pet Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produce Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC. This is an independent ad from Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
Springtime vibes are in the air, and when I bring in some beautiful flowers that are blooming, I want to smell them, not the litter box. And I can, thanks to Pretty Litter. I'm going to correct this ad because I didn't bring any flowers in, but you know what I did cook yesterday? A big pot of beans. It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I use Pretty Litter.
You're saying springtime vibes are in the air, and when I cook a big pot of beans, I'd rather smell beans. I want to smell them,
yes.
Not the litter box.
I'd rather smell beans than flour. I'm trying to personalize it.
I don't think Pretty Litter would mind you correcting their intro with your own personal endorsement, which is that you want to smell your beans.
Yes. Delicious, fragrant beans with bay leaves and garlic and onion. This is all to say that nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra-absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to a month. So I know that when people come over to my apartment, they're going to be smelling whatever I'm cooking, whatever's in the air, you know, like whatever candle I lit. They're not going to smell what's in the litter box because it soaks it all up. Plus, the crystals change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in my cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. So when the colors change, you can tell your vet what happened so they know what to look for. And if that wasn't enough, Pretty Litter ships free right to my door. I never run out. I don't have kitty litter bags taking up a lot of space in my little apartment. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. Prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Okay, speaking of boyfriends... Nick Cannon.
Speaking of boyfriends,
Nick Cannon is. People always say Nick Cannon's the busiest person in Hollywood. He is, and this is sort of broadening that definition.
Are so, we like? Because I feel like he's a them with like extraordinary who tendencies.
He's a them. I think he's absolutely.
But like his tendencies are hooey times a million. You know, he's got right. Like he's hooey as.
Well, he's hooey in that he does everything. He's game for everything in a way that thems are a little pickier. You know, like he'll host anything. It's very he'll do an ad for anything. He'll release any product. He has his like embarrassing electronics line, Incredible.
Right.
Like selling
right.
like bullshit Bluetooth headphones
right,
and stuff. Like,
right.
He is hooey in that like he's up for anything.
We
but
prefer
also,
Ray J Electronics on this podcast.
Yes,
joking.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. I use my Raycons to run. I don't buy Incredible headphones.
Right, right.
So I saw this headline and I was like, I did a very Looney Tunes thing with my head. And it said, Abby De La Rosa and Nick Cannon are expecting twins. And I was like, wait, didn't Nick Cannon just have another baby on Christmas and name it like,
I mean,
Powerful Queen?
Not to mention he's had other twins. He's literally had twins before.
It's his second set of twins. Well, don't twins run?
I know.
Like,
it's
aren't
genetic.
They, like,
I
genetic?
Know. It's
yeah,
true.
They're genetic. So Nick Cannon, I'm reading about microplastics and phthalates. I still don't know how to say phthalates.
Why?
Causing decreased sperm counts all over the world.
Oh.
Microplastics and phthalates.
Okay.
Nick Cannon must have the most powerful sperm in the entire world because he's getting so many people pregnant and half of those women are getting birth to twins. Half of those women. So this woman I've never heard of, Abby De La Rosa, I'm like, wait. That's not Brittany Bell. So this is a new woman in his life, Abby De La Rosa. She's the who in this equation. She's a DJ. She's like a radio DJ. She does. She works for radio stations in LA. She works for iHeartRadio. She has like a influencer, wannabe influencer profile. Seems perfectly fine. Also kind of uninteresting. Started a mask line selling sparkle masks, but they're all sold out. Okay, so she posts this story, like, on her stories, and then many grid posts where she's not only showing off her baby bump, she's fully like, there's drone shots, she's with Nick Cannon, they're clutching each other, they're hugging, they're so in love. And she says, our dearest sons, my miracle babies, thank you for choosing me to be your mommy. Interesting social strategy. She posts the same caption on all three
she
photos.
She has kind of a funny shtick. Did you click on Club Tummy?
Oh, yeah, the thing for mommies, for pregnant mommies.
But it's like not music. It's not a product. It's just a funny Instagram account where she plays music for her kids, like through her stomach, and calls it Club Tummy. And it's kind of funny.
She's a DJ.
Yeah, because she's a DJ.
And it has like a bad logo. It's like charming.
She calls it Club Tummy. I kind of love that. Yeah. I think that's funny. Like, she's not trying to sell anything. I was worried it was some sort of fucking like waist trainer. But no, it's like hilarious.
Oh, no.
Club Tummy.
A waist trainer.
I don't know. I don't know. Okay.
So she posts the same caption on all the photos. The photos are beautiful, right? They're so well done. And I was like, oh, did she... This is sort of like a swerve, right? Because she's posting not only... She's posting that she has twins, that she's pregnant, and that the dad is Nick Cannon all at once. But then you scroll down a little further and you realize, no, she has posted about her pregnancy in the past. She just never revealed who the father was. But Eagle Eye observers, back in February when she posted the pregnancy reveal photos, noticed that while she didn't mention the name of someone who was the father, she was wearing an Incredible logo around her neck.
Oh, God.
So back in February, there were plenty of blogs that were like, I think this DJ, Abby De La Rosa, is revealing that she is pregnant with Nick Cannon's kids. But there was no confirmation anywhere until yesterday. And then at around the same time, which we didn't even talk about at the time, Nick Cannon was embroiled in a minor controversy because two women were wishing him happy Valentine's Day on the same day via very romantic Instagram posts, one of them being Brittany Bell, the mother of his of two of his kids, and the other one being this woman named whose name I already forgot her name, I just had it there, Lanisha Cole, who's kind of no one. She's a model. She's like not famous. She's not even as interesting as Abby De La Rosa. Lanisha Cole posts a photo of Nick Cannon and her and she underneath like a wall of balloons for Valentine's Day. Then she deletes the photo, presumably because she saw that Brittany Bell posted something very similar, and also that Abby De La Rosa announced that she was pregnant wearing an Incredible necklace. And then she posted some like kind of angry Instagram story that was like, stop paying attention to my life. Like, I'm not important. Like, this is rude. Don't come for me. Like, and then she made a joke about Cricket Mobile. Anyway, so I think she's out of the picture, but Brittany Bell remains in the picture. And now Abby De La Rosa is in the picture. And Nick Cannon's schedule is so jam-packed. I'm dying to see what his, like, date book looks
well,
like.
Well, I mean, not to be, like, even talk more about him, but you saw he was unmasked on The Masked Singer. Like, he's the host of The Masked Singer, but then he was, like...
But he also sang.
He also was on The Masked Singer. Like, that was the big trick. Oh, God.
He's so busy. It's unreal.
I know.
It's professional.
But he's busy in a new way. Like, usually we're like, oh, they stay busy. They have all these jobs. It's like, not only mm-hmm. is he busy with the jobs, he's busy impregnating multiple girlfriends, you know? Multiple women.
Like, the comparison is always Nick Cannon and Ryan Seacrest, but I don't see Ryan Seacrest, like, juggling all these babies. Nick Cannon's more impressive.
Oh, my God. They called him poly-peeved. Lanisha Cole seems to call it quits with thruppled up Nick Cannon.
Well, three women. It's Lanisha Cole, Brittany Bell, and I already forgot her name, Abby De La Rosa.
I gotta say, Mariah Carey had the right idea. She was like, bye, bye, bye. Like, get out of here. You are not a good partner for me. I do not need you.
Yeah.
And they have a good relationship because I feel like because she did that, and she definitely did that, not him. Come on.
Well, I think by everything I could tell, the women who are mad at him are the women he doesn't have kids with. But the women he has kids with, like,
understand,
seem to just kind of love him. Like, the women who are, like, dumping on Nick Cannon are not the women he has kids with. So in that realm, he must, like, be a good dad, you know? Like, maybe he treats the women he doesn't have kids with a little more, like, thoughtlessly.
I mean, also, but, maybe there's a financial element that he's fulfilling properly.
mm-hmm. It's just funny whenever you see the coverage of this, it's like, yes, you might remember that he just had another baby with someone else named Powerful Queen, the best name of 2020. And yes, you would be right.
Powerful Queen was the last baby. Now we have the twins coming.
Yeah.
And yeah. Morocco and Monroe, Rock and Roe, are the Mariah Carey twins.
And they're 9 years old at this point.
They're not nine.
They're nine.
I want to die.
They're nine.
Oh, God.
Time.
Jeez.
Yes. Speaking of nine-year-olds, JoJo Siwa was on the cover of People.
She's not nine. She's not nine. That's her audience. Her audience is nine.
Her audience is nine. She's not 18, nine.
Right? She's 18. No, she's, wait. She's,
I think she's 17.
Oh, her girlfriend's 18.
She's 17. Her girlfriend's 18.
Okay.
She revealed her girlfriend. Well, she'd already revealed her girlfriend, but she gave herself a label, which, you know, is cool. She says she's pansexual. Uh-huh. Earlier, she just said she was a member of the LGBTQ+ community whenever she came out on TikTok earlier this year. And now she says she's pansexual. And I just love that, like, she got the People cover, like a People exclusive cover in her bow and everything. Got a People photo shoot.
Perfect.
Got to talk about her love life. You open up the magazine and you read the cover story. And here's kind of my favorite part. I work a lot, Siwa says. After earning her GED 2 years ago, her work life consists of rehearsing, filming, right now, her new summer movie, The J Team, editing videos, TikToking, and signing off on products bearing her name and image. Quote, but I do normal things, ! Siwa insists, the number of exclamation marks in this that they had to use. And then here's this line. She likes Kraft macaroni and cheese. She FaceTimes with her girlfriend, Kylie Prue, 18, constantly. And she loves Ariana Grande and Grey's Anatomy. Quote, I go to the bathroom on my toilet with my face on it, she says before unleashing an echoing cackle. That's normal, right? Unbelievable.
I mean, she is like a consummate professional.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because she's posing in her convertible that has her face all over it in a sweatshirt with her face on it.
With her face on it, next to her dog who doesn't have a seatbelt on in the back. Like, this photo is, like, jarring, and everything about the life of JoJo is jarring because this image looks like every single element of it has been Photoshopped, but it's not. That's her life. She lives in this, like, Photoshopped wild world where everything is super bright. Her face is on everything. Everything is saturated. Everything looks unreal. Her giant bows are on everything. Looks like another layer in a Photoshop. It's wild.
Part? Siwa and Prue met on a cruise ship. Quote, I told her my whole spiel that I tell everyone when they ask my life story. Siwa remembers. She goes, I could have Googled that. I want to know your life story. You just told me about your career. No, I want to know about you. And I was like, no one's ever asked me that before.
Aww. Sweet. Her girlfriend, Kylie. Okay, what is next? Speaking of relationships, considerably less interesting relationships. Let me tell you something. Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, no, this isn't even about them. This is just about an article. Sorry, I guess I put this here because this is about an article that just says celebs went to a party, but we don't know what it's for. This cracked me up. This means, like, literally COVID is over because we have an article where it says other stars who were seen at this party included Justin Bieber, his wife Hailey Bieber, Kendall Jenner, and her boyfriend Devin Booker, Kylie Jenner, Kylie's ex-boyfriend Tyga with his new girlfriend, Cameron Swanson, Drake, Chris Brown, Amber Rose with her boyfriend A.E., Pia Mia, and more. And then it says, it's not clear why all the stars were gathered at the hotspot. Someone, it's like, we don't even know, like, we're so over it that we don't even know why we're here. It's mm-hmm. literally just partying again. Crazy, right?
That's like, that's that second dose lifestyle.
And they went to the nice guy. Remember the nice guy?
Oh, wow. That's still around? Yeah.
We haven't mentioned the nice guy in a year. It's wild. Anyways.
Hollywood is healing.
That's why I put this here. And it's actually funny that out of all of those people, they pulled out Megan Fox, Machine Gun Kelly. They must be really like clicky right now.
They're clicky. That's what I was thinking. They must be getting a lot of like attention. People must notice that they perform well. Yeah.
Right? Like people must be clicking on these things.
And I think people are also clicking on, again, very them-y, Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker.
Yes.
The tattoo thing got so much coverage. His, like, nasty Kourtney tattoo.
But I'm just sorry. Like, if somebody has over 300 tattoos and gets someone else's name, it doesn't mean anything. I'm sorry.
No, who cares?
Like, if ask anyone with lots of tattoos if getting a tattoo at that point really has extraordinary meaning, they'll say no. Do you know what I mean? Like, at that point, whatever. It just goes into the mess of tats, right?
But it's a Where's Waldo to find, you know, where Kourtney is. Then I'm not impressed. You know, find the Kourtney.
Right.
Find the Kourtney on Travis. It'll take you a long time.
Right.
Clap if you care. Clap if you care.
This I liked. We get some old drama. We get some old feuds. I mean, I think their feud comes up like once a year at this point, which is insane.
It's
like, why do we still care about like the former girlfriends of Hugh Hefner who is dead and the Playboy Mansion is sold, you know?
It's just, if you're going to be miserable in that thing, then why do it?
I'm definitely going to go down, but not the whole bunny thing.
All right. No worries.
If you don't want to wear it and you aren't really excited about the outfit, fine, you shouldn't wear it because it won't be special.
I'm so excited about the bunny costume, and I think Holly feels the same way. We feel like it's such a privilege and such an honor. It's really weird and strange to us to see somebody who's not really interested.
If they made a bunny and they put like made a jersey bunny, like a sporty bunny, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. I just thought of that.
I don't understand why Kendra doesn't want to ever be a bunny. Looking back in Playboy's history and everything else, I just think it's like such a cool honor to
be
a bunny. Pat Lacey says you have to earn your bunny rights. You know, like I had to earn.
That's why I feel like you shouldn't hand them out to every,
Yeah.
The Playboy Mansion is sold. The Playboy Mansion is canceled. The reality show hasn't been on in 10 years. Like, why do we give a shit?
Right. And
the
point is,
I don't know, but we do.
Talking about, and I don't care if we talk about the women, like a lot of them were really compelling, but they're talking about their feud about the specific life that they lived with this man that was obviously confusing for everyone involved, right? Like, we're still obsessed with this.
Well, I think it's one of those things where it was very dark, and we're so used to pretending that it wasn't dark, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
It makes us upset, and we're titillated by it in almost like a true crimey way, but we're not allowed to admit that it's like in a true crimey way.
But I think
we're
also
like,
because
yes, we loved it.
Some of the former girlfriends are like, it was dark, it was dark, it was dark. But then you have the kind of the last girlfriend that he was with, the Crystal Hefner, is like, it wasn't dark at all. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how.
Crystal Harris.
Yeah, they got married. And then you have, but we know that the only former half girlfriends that matter are the ones that were on The Girls Next Door, which includes Holly, Kendra, and who was the other one?
Bridget Marquardt.
So Kendra had reality shows. She was married to that basketball guy, and Holly wrote the book that everyone loves, the Down the Rabbit Hole book, and still kind of does a lot of press around that. And then
what was Kendra's husband's name? Hank.
Hank
Basket. They're done. They broke up a long time ago.
But then we have we have another half girlfriend that wrote a book that's also called like Rabbit Hole. You know.
Well, you have to use idioms that use rabbits and holes.
Right.
Well, not holes, but rabbits.
Right. So you have Bunny Tales from
Isabella St. James.
So she came out and she said that Holly, okay, so the feud is between Holly and Kendra and always has been.
Yeah.
Because I guess
it's years old.
There was
years
tension between them for, of course, like reasons, but I think they both thought that they each wanted fame for bad reasons and weren't there for Hef, whatever. Meanwhile, who gives a shit who's there for Hef at this point? He's using all you. Anyways, okay. So now this this feud keeps getting brought up again and again and again, because I do think that there is, like, they for some reason have this discrepancy where Kendra says that she didn't have to sleep with Hugh Hefner to get invited to be his girlfriend, and Holly claims mm-hmm. that, like, everyone had to.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the feud?
That's the new feud.
Right.
But, like, the old feud, the feud that Isabella wrote about in her book.
She says that Holly's book was bad because Holly was seeking revenge against Hugh.
Yes, because she didn't get married.
Because they didn't get married, which was actually a big plot point on the show, too. So
yeah.
It kind of plays towards that. They really played up the plot that Holly always wanted to marry Hugh and he didn't want to marry her.
So basically, once you're done with the girls next door and you're out of the mansion, you dine out on causing and having beef with
exactly.
the other girls. And this is just another instance of this. The only thing is, this is, you know, maybe 6 years after the last time there was a big feud between, like, the women. And what happened was it all centers around Call Your Daddy. Remember that podcast we talked about
do.
It last year?
Yeah, with the one daddy's left.
Sorry, Call Her Daddy, not Call Your Daddy. Call Her Daddy. The host of Call
podcast.
Her Daddy. Yeah. Alex Cooper interviewed Holly Madison on Call Her Daddy last week.
That's a good interview. A good topic for them.
It was good. And I listened to it. And the part of the interview that gets pulled out by everyone is the part where Holly says, as far as I know, if you're going to get invited to live with Hef, you have to sleep with him. He's not going to invite you into the house unless you sleep with him. That's my experience.
I respect that in Kendra's book,
uh-huh.
she had said, like, and then I moved in. And you're like, hold on. You don't get to act better than us. Like, hold on. You
yeah.
do have to admit that you had to sleep with him before moving in. Like, let's not get it twisted.
Like, yeah. Like, I'm not trying to, like, slut shame anybody
no.
or anything. But it's just, like, nobody ever got asked to move in unless they had slept with him.
Okay,
like,
so that's
no
a
way.
Prerequisite.
Uh-huh,
like, you
for
have to
sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it would be even creepier if he's like, oh,
move in.
And then,
right.
like, jumping
that's
out
true.
On you.
That's
yeah.
actually true. It's almost like you've...
So this is sort of shocking because Kendra has always said that's not true.
And
she
Crystal sides with
this.
Kendra. So
yes.
Crystal came out and
Crystal
said...
Crystal sides with Kendra, too.
I was at the mansion for a decade, almost 4 years ago now, and these ladies and their drama were years before that. So much time has passed. But then she said, I side with Kendra. So she's saying, mm-hmm. she's implying that she also got invited in before.
So people like ganging up on Holly. I generally.
So in the pod, she says this stuff. And then Kendra in the comments actually says, dude, it's 2021.
It's 2021. Okay.
Like, get over it.
What Holly is saying is extremely false. I'm like, where did this come from?
Do you feel like we're going to give her the satisfaction of she got to you?
It's not really that she's getting to me. It's that someone needs to have a voice against this. I mean,
yeah.
Hef won't do it. He's too nice of a guy. Like, this is just weird how someone can get away with such a thing.
So this is getting picked up everywhere. Everyone's saying that Holly said on Call Her Daddy that in order to be invited into the Hugh Hefner house, the Playboy Mansion, you have to sleep with him. Otherwise, he's not going to invite you to live there. The reason she brings it up is because she's saying that, like, when she was 22, when she moved in, she was very, like, she wasn't tied down. She was looking for work. She was looking for a place to live. She knew she wanted to live in LA, but, like, didn't have the means to really live there yet. So she was like, it would be great if I could just fucking live in the Playboy Mansion. Like, it would be nice to, like, have a stable living situation so that I could, like, pursue my dreams.
Oh, there were
and
so many reasons
there's a,
why
right,
these
and there's
women,
like,
not even, like, there were so many reasons for these women to move into that house that had nothing to do with him. I mean, they were literally
absolutely.
Taken care of. Like,
and that's why I would say the interview is actually sort of interesting, because you forget that, like, it's... when you approach the house as this apartment complex that kind of has nothing to do with Hugh, it's interesting. It's like these women who are just moving to LA to pursue their dreams, and this is a means to an end, right? Obviously, we know it gets more complicated than that, but it's understandable why you would move there thinking, like, if I can just get a place to stay, and that place is the Playboy Mansion,
right.
where a lot of famous Hollywood people come and I could meet other people, it would be iconic.
And who's to say that some of these women didn't have fondness for Hugh in many ways? I mean, there
yeah,
are plenty
yeah.
of non-traditional relationships.
Mm-hmm.
This was certainly one of them. I'm sure he...
Totally.
There was definitely a power dynamic that was not in their favor. He owned the house. He had the control.
Mm-hmm.
He could dump them at any time, blah, blah, blah. But also, to give them a little bit of, you know, power themselves, they autonomy. Definitely, sorry, autonomy is more the case. Like, they were also getting stuff out of it. They were getting an apartment. Yes. Some of them were on a TV show. They had relationships with each other, meaning like friendships, you know, or whatever. Like, they exactly. were getting fed. They were meeting lots of famous people who were coming to the Playboy Mansion. Like,
yes. And to hear them discuss it like that was, at least to me, someone who's used to the media coverage being so centered around Hugh, having it centered around the women was cool, where right. you're like, oh, these women totally did have autonomy here. They were like, this was a strategy for them in some cases.
Why they're still the women fighting just though loved is you, you know? Insane to me.
Then there's an ad break, a really long ad break, and then it comes back and she says this.
So you have this idea, uh-huh. you go out with Hef. Had you known all the girls slept with him or just the main girlfriend? Because I know publicly, don't they say it's just the main girlfriend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I assumed they all had to sleep with him at some point.
Yes.
But it was impossible to get the full story because the girls would never talk about it, okay. ever.
And so she has a couple of anecdotes about how weird the issue of sex with Hugh was among the women, among the people.
So really,
who
she
there.
Doesn't
they
actually know.
It. She doesn't know. And so she basically walks back the statements that went viral immediately after the ad break in this episode of Call Her
but
Daddy.
But no one listened, like, after the
and
ad
no
break.
One, well, it's not that no one listens. She does say both, but it's she also says the other thing where it's like, you can't even keep it straight here.
And she was the main girlfriend for a while. So like, right? She was the main girlfriend. We remember this from the show.
I think so. I mean, I see them as Kendra very interchangeable, but yeah.
No, but on the show, if I recall, the reason why she really wanted to get married was because she was like assumed to be the main girlfriend or whatever. So she's saying mm-hmm. like, here's my experience of the being the main girlfriend for that period of time. And I actually don't know if anyone else what the deal was with sleeping with him. The question wasn't whether they do at all. The question was whether they do before they move into the house, right? Mm-hmm. That was yeah. the dispute yes. here. Kendra said, I moved into the house before even doing that. And actually, if you go to Isabel's book, I looked up like the first mention of Kendra in the book, and it says, I avoided Bridget because we had nothing to talk about. And then a new girl entered the group. Her name was Kendra, and she was one of the naked painted girls at Hef's birthday party in April 2004. Her job was to hand out jello shots to all the guests, but Kendra stood firmly in front of our table all night to be sure that Hef saw her. He did. He invited her out with us, and strangely enough, Holly and Bridget took her under their wing. We understood what they were up to, but we were too disinterested to do anything about it. We knew Kendra was really just like us. I saw her doing a booty dance at the club, looking around for boys, and flirting with security guys. I knew she wanted to be a girlfriend, that's capital G girlfriend, and it was in her best interest to befriend Holly and Bridget, but I realized the limits of that friendship. I knew as soon as we were gone, they would turn against her because she was younger and more attractive and had an outgoing personality. I couldn't figure out why Kendra, at 18, would want to live in the mansion. I was 26 years old when I moved in. I had several boyfriends. I had accomplished all of my educational goals before that. And all of the other girls except Holly were older than me. But the butlers told us Kendra was a stripper from San Diego and thought that moving into the mansion was the best thing she could do in her life at that point. I was also a little disappointed in Hef. I thought dating an 18-year-old was a bit much, even for him.
Mm-hmm. But and that's the thing about this that like is so annoying to just me as like a consumer of this content, because it's like Kendra and Holly have so much in common. They shouldn't be enemies, you know? Yeah. They should be friends. They should be able to relate to this like weird
moment
in their youth.
I mean, Hugh's long gone. Like, you don't have to, like,
Hugh sucked also.
You don't have to respect this guy. Like, you don't have to deal with him anymore.
I didn't watch Girls Next Door.
I did.
But I just find all of the dynamics between these women really, really fascinating. And it would make for like a good documentary with all of them discussing what their time was, because I'm sure it was way more fucked up than the reality show made it seem. Beyond the weird power dynamic of an old, horny, powerful man inviting all these young women to like basically like this weird quid pro quo relationship with him and his like freaky mansion where the most famous people in Hollywood go on a weekly basis, the dynamics between the women I think are so much more interesting than the show, which I didn't even watch. Like, I think the dynamics between the women are more interesting than the reality show made them seem.
I mean, and they're clearly cool to see. Real, because they are still happening.
That situation made me feel kind of sad for Hef, because I had told him that I was leaving and he was like, no, 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 they ordered another season of the show, just, you know, stay. And I had finally come to a point in my life where I realized I needed something more genuine than he was able to give me. Like, I'd woken up after 7 years.
Wait, speaking of feuds, I have another one that's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, another
feud.
Scroll
down a little. Can we just read the tweets back and forth? I'll start. Okay, wait. On Friday, April 9th, it was announced that Phoebe Waller-Bridge will be starring alongside Harrison Ford in the upcoming fifth installment of the franchise, which is Indiana Jones, which will be directed by James Mangold. Shortly after the announcement was made, Patrick Schwarzenegger took to Twitter to react.
I love Indiana Jones, but just not sure about this, Patrick tweeted. He then deleted it shortly afterwards.
Elijah Wood then decided to clap back at Patrick's tweet. Not sure about what exactly. The mighty force of Phoebe Waller-Bridge, the brilliant James Mangold, Elijah wrote.
Patrick responded to Elijah, clarifying what he meant. Quote, another film! Exclamation mark.
Elijah then responded back, tweeting, haha, fair, before adding, a chance for redemption is hopeful.
Meanwhile, Cat B on Just Jared's comments wrote, they are rumored to be lovers.
No, they're,
Patrick Schwarzenegger and Elijah, and I was like, Cat B, they are not rumored to be lovers. I looked everywhere for this. I would love for them to
Cat
be rumored
B,
to be lovers. They're not.
We would love this rumor to be anything.
Cappy is starting shit. Her thing is going into Just Jared and starting drama.
Cappy,
they're rumored to be
you
lovers.
Get out of here with this shit. Don't start shit here. We do not need this. All right. Okay. What else? Oh, Trishelle from Real World had sex with Leonardo DiCaprio. She fucked Leo. Did you see this?
Why is this coming up?
I don't know.
I saw
know.
This, but why is it coming up?
I don't
up
even know. I didn't even know this was rumored. But
was she on a podcast? Oh, she was on Andy Cohen. She was on Watch What Happens Live.
No, but the thing is like, when I didn't even know this was a thing that had to be confirmed or denied.
Mm-hmm.
They played Never Were I Ever. And he said, never have I hooked up with Leonardo DiCaprio. And she said, she took a drink.
And she took a drink.
Trishelle. You hated Trishelle. You hate Trishelle.
Well, I hated Las Vegas. I thought that Las Vegas was just like counter to everything that made the real world interesting before. Like the Las Vegas is whenever the real world fully skewed into like antagonistic relationships. Like let's have as much drama and right. fights as possible.
Well, it was in the era of MTV with like Jersey Shore and stuff too. So right, yeah. I feel like they were trying to match that energy, which was like Real World always provided a little bit of that, but it wasn't fully based on that.
Mm-hmm. It was. I just in my recollection, Real World Las Vegas was whenever they fully transitioned to being like drama central.
Yeah,
and the whole point of the real world, the more interesting relationships were just like the fact that it truly was like people from different places in America coming together and having to deal with each other. Mm-hmm. And like then they were like, you know what? Let's just get a bunch of sexy people and have them fight and get them really wasted. And it's like, true, that works. that definitely is an equation for a formula for entertainment. But
that was the structure of most reality shows to come. But you're right. Yeah. Real World always mm-hmm. had a little bit more than that. And it was why Real World was so
it was a little more thoughtful,
iconic.
A little more thoughtful.
Oh, Trishelle.
When I saw that headline, it was very like, take a drag of a big fat cigarette and say, I haven't heard that name in years. Like, I just, that was just very triggering to me.
Yeah. I have some quick hits. Ready?
Do the quick hits.
January Jones had a rattlesnake who bit her dog and she had to bludgeon it to death. So that's what she posted on her Instagram.
So January Jones bludgeoned a rattlesnake who bit her dog.
Yeah.
Got it. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
Aaron Carter and Lamar Odom are doing a boxing event against each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
Happening.
Okay.
And
I don't like that.
Chappelle okay. Corby. That's right. The ganja queen of Australian
Chappelle.
Fame.
You have to play the song.
I'm obsessed with her. She is doing Dancing with the Stars.
I'm in Queensland and it is sunny. I have the palm trees behind me.
I can't believe this song went to number one in every country.
To quote NCF1 7 months ago on YouTube, quite simply, the best song I have ever heard in my whole life.
It's an international hit.
I know these were supposed to be quick hits, Lindsay, but the January Jones story, I didn't see this. Apologies, I didn't see this. The story of her holding the mallet after bludgeoning rattlesnake is there. And she writes on the caption of the Instagram story of her in a hat in her beautiful backyard holding a mallet, again, that she used to bludgeon a rattlesnake that bit her dog, is captioned, right before I was forced to bludgeon yet another rattlesnake today, I almost cried. I'm sorry, snake family. This house is taken. Another. How many rattlesnakes has January Jones bludgeoned? Meanwhile, you have all of these celebrities being like, the coyotes killed my dog. The coyotes killed my dog. Yeah. And January Jones is out here killing the wild animals.
I mean,
before
she's got
they have
two
dogs.
She's got two golden doodles, Vinny and Joey. and these dogs are not able to protect themselves. So she's got to be out here like smacking rattlesnakes with croquet paddles or croquet mallets. Yeah.
I'm just saying, January Jones has cute little dogs and lives in L.A. and has them in the backyard, and neither of those dogs has been killed by a wild animal. She is clearly a little more defensive and stronger than the average Hollywood celebrity.
That's true. She's, you know? She's bludgeoning those rattlesnakes.
What an interesting person.
All right, now it's time for Rita.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
The succinct update, she's still in Australia.
She's not leaving.
She's never leaving Australia.
She's not leaving.
She's like getting, y'all, she's getting comfortable.
That's what I'm saying.
Really,
we're gonna, if I'm just gonna say, not that we're the UK, like we don't have any ownership over Rita. Like she doesn't live in LA, but like if you are from the UK, you guys gotta get her back. Like, what do you do? I mean, I know you pushed her away because she was a bad girl, but like if you want her back, you better start working at it. Because she's, it doesn't seem like she wants to come back to London.
I don't think so. Rita Ora, she's showing off her incredible figure in a snakeskin swimmer as she reveals her various moods in a series of throwback snaps. She's also displaying her...
Rita Ora to London is like, you'll never see me again, you know?
You'll never see me again.
She's displaying her sartorial flair in a metallic blazer before slipping into a leopard print crop top as she gets ready for the weekend in stylish snaps. She's having a good... It's her weekend,
she's
baby, in Australia.
She's also showing off her fit figure in a sports bra and leggings after a boxing workout at a Cerro Gym, Sydney.
She has a gym. She found a gym.
Oh, God. She has a gym membership. That's bad. She's never coming back.
She's also showcasing her enviable frame in a figure-hugging black dress with racy cutouts for sizzling snaps. And then she is the world's most awkward winker in this photo. Did you see this?
Yeah, I have
the
wink. Yeah, I saw. But I have the. I have another update for you. I want you to. This was posted.
Oh my God, basic queen. The basic queen. She posted a Instagram story of her with a. Oh my God, Rita. It's, oh my God. So it's a photo of a little cardboard bowl, a little paper bowl of sliced carrots, not baby carrots, sliced carrots, like bite-sized carrots, and a tub of store-bought hummus. And the caption is, Rita, my fave snack at work.
Stars Rita. Are really just like us. Rita Ora could post literally herself putting on socks, and I would be like, she's still not like me. Like, I'm not really, get out of here with this fake relatable content.
My fave, like Rita Ora, like showcasing her love of hummus and carrots is a little too much for me.
Rita Ora posting an Instagram yesterday, 15 hours ago, which is because in Australia time is Sunday. Actually, I don't really don't know about the difference between Australia time and America time. But anyway, she's posting a photo of her looking incredible on the beach and writing, wishing everyone the best beginning of the week. I love you guys so much. This is the equivalent of somebody posting themselves like on a yacht being like, Sunday scaries, am I right? And it's like, what?
Been on the yacht all day. We're about to dock. Now I got a case of Sunday scaries. Wish I were back on the water.
Wishing everyone the best beginning of the week. First of all, the language
in this
is
language
insane.
Too.
I love her. I love her
it's
for
translated
this.
Five times.
I love her for this stuff, but boy.
I also, she found a local grocery store. She's been grocery shopping at Woolworths, and the caption was, Rita Ora visits Woolworth supermarket for some last-minute groceries before enjoying a luxurious getaway on the Hawkesbury River. And I think that's where she posted the bikini where she said, hope everyone's having a good beginning of the week. What was it again?
I mean,
I already lost
they
it.
Only said, oh, it's wishing everyone the best beginning of the week. It's literally tomorrow. She's ahead of us. She's like literally forward thinking. She went into the future. I
haven't seen Rita Ora in a mask in
quite
a long time. Well, it's Australia.
She's in the
it's
future
Australia,
and COVID's over, you know? Like,
I bet she was Pfizered in January.
Okay.
Okay, we're done. Thank you for listening to another episode of Who Weekly. Call in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns, and we may play your call on our Friday episode, Who's There? Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly for twice weekly bonus episodes. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for providing our Rita theme song. And we'll see you Friday. Bye.
Bye.
You will drive it.
Today's episode of Who Weekly is brought to you by the CW's new series, Kung Fu. Watch new episodes Wednesdays at 8, 7 central or stream free the next day.